are listening to Teacher Talk It, supporting teachers, parents and students worldwide. www.teachertalkit.co.uk. Like, subscribe and follow to stay in the know.
And I think that comes down as well to the ethos of the place. So, you know, I always say to my staff, you know, you can walk the door at 8:30 and leave at 3:30 if you want, or you can stay longer. Mm-hmm. It's as long as, you know, you're doing the job that you need to do for the children when you're in front of them. When and how you do that work mm-hmm. is totally up to you.
We help teachers thrive and survive with classroom ideas, cutting-edge school resources, and research-informed teacher training materials. You will also hear discussions on the policy, guidance, and research-based publications.
This week, listen to Ross McGill, founder of Teacher Talkit, interview Helen Nilsson and Sarah Scott, head teacher and deputy head at Joseph Cash Primary School in Coventry. In today's podcast, some of the things we'll be discussing are well-being days for staff, leadership opportunities for women, and the box set analogy and how to apply it in schools.
Hello everyone, this is Ross at Teacher Talk at the most influential blog on education in the UK. Today I am at Joseph Cash Primary School in Coventry alongside Helen Nilsson, head teacher.
Hello.
And Sarah Scott, the deputy head teacher. Can I get you both just to take turns to introduce yourself to everybody? Tell everyone what you do, what you've been up to today.
Okay, so yeah, I'm Helen Nilsson, I'm the head teacher here at Joseph Cash. This is my sixth year here. Today I have had a wonderful evening with you, Ross, a twilight session with all the teachers. I've spent some lovely time with some children, working in my office and chatting to them, and also just working with leaders, and yeah, a good day overall.
Okay, Sarah?
So I'm Sarah. I've been the deputy head teacher here for 5 years. I've been at Joseph Cash for about 10 years. Today, again, we've had a really inspiring session with you, Ross, looking at the Mark Plan Teach and specifically focusing on retrieval practice. I lead on curriculum development here at Joseph mm-hmm. Cash, and that's a really important next step for us. Today, I've had a great day, so I've finished the day with this training, but I've had my well-being day for school today, and I've been to the farm with my two boys who are on
yeah, so
day.
Listen, so Sarah's been out on a jolly today, part of her well-being, been to a farm. So with your own children?
Yes.
And is that part of something you offer to all staff, support staff as well?
Yep, so everyone, cleaners, admin, pastoral, myself, we all get a well-being day and you use it for something completely unrelated to school with your children, your partner, just lie at home and watch TV for the day, anything that you want.
Okay, and how do you kind of logistically set that up?
So it's just a lot of it's internal cover. Everyone knows that we each get the day off. Mm-hmm. Also, some staff might get more, so if they're maybe at the top of their pay grade, so actually there's nowhere for them to get a financial increment each year when they successfully pass their performance management, like they might get an extra day or 2 days or 3 days as well. Mm-hmm. So it's just internal cover. We just manage.
Okay, so we'll come back to some work, because we talked about workload and well-being tonight, and your staff had a huge list of all the different things that you do, so we'll signpost some good ideas here. I don't want to dwell on it too much, but we can't not talk about COVID and the challenge. Last time we spoke, so I've been here 3 or 4 times over the last year. Last time we spoke, just before Christmas, I think you said you had 17 staff out.
That was in January, yeah.
January, okay. So give us a synopsis of how it's been for you.
So probably January's been the toughest. We've had so many staff
just
out.
Just gone.
January just gone isolating. And so whereas last year, obviously, staff have to isolate, but you'd close the bubble down so staff could work from home remotely. Obviously, when you've got all the children in school, mm-hmm. That's harder to cover. And, you know, staff isolating for lots of different reasons. Obviously, they've been poorly. They're isolating because they're a close contact. They're isolated or they're at home because their children have tested positive. So actually, it's childcare. So we want to support them to be able to look after their own children. So again, it's just we've got a really supportive staff team mm-hmm. and we all just pull together and have just got
and
through it.
So Sarah, as a leadership team, how have you guys coped and supported each other?
In terms of our support, it's looking at trying to protect where we can the children's learning within the classroom and being able to think creatively about how we might cover playtime duties, lunchtime duties, after school clubs, and trying to adjust our leadership team who are non-class based to support in order to protect that. Our teachers' time mm-hmm. in the classrooms and not to have the biggest impact mm-hmm. on those children, really.
And can you give, for people watching and people listening, just give us the stats of Joseph Cash, the number of role, number of staff, pupil premium. Yeah.
So we're 2 form entry, we've also 2-year-old provision and a preschool. So I think we're up to about 480 children. Mm-hmm. We are 70% English as an additional language and 40% pupil premium, and have around 70 to 75 staff in total.
So you've got a red bus, haven't you?
They've got a big red bus
outside, which is great. So a busy school.
Very busy school, yeah.
A very busy school. Now, we've been doing some Mark Plan Teach work over the period of time. We've looked at vision and values, and we talked about your signs on the wall. Very colourful school, and they've also got a vending machine. And I need to make a note of Shorevend, a bit of promotion there for that company, to try and get one for my son's primary school. But we talked about vision and values. What are the values, Sarah, of Joseph Cash?
I think it's really, really important that we have our staff and our children's values are the heart of everything that we do. And we want to ensure that our children have a growth mindset, that they're resilient and they're ready for their either next stage of education and beyond education, really. And we spent a lot of time initially as a leadership team really wanting to think about how we weave that in through every element of Joseph Cash. As soon as you walk through our door, whether or not you're on the playground, at lunchtime, within our classrooms as well, and spent a lot of time talking to our children about how we can make it resonate with them as well, how would they remember what our values are, what that might look like in
classrooms. I think for people listening and watching, when you visit Joseph Cash, if you can, and they're welcome to visit, you come through and there's a glitter ball hanging above your head, there's the vending machine, the library's amazing, and tell us about the corridors.
So we have a motto, it's colourful corridors and calm classrooms. So the classrooms are grey, just one coloured wall, Hessian background, so it's very calm and purposeful, working walls that have meaning and support the children's learning. And then the corridors are for inspiration, so lots of quotes, aspirational people, our Joseph Cash characters which are linked to our values, and just lots of colour all around the place that makes it feel really warm.
It is.
And then our offices all have a homely feel, so we have wallpaper, dining room chairs.
Nice roses here.
So it's not a kind of a stereotypical office that you're coming in through, but parents and families and children feel comfortable that they can come into our offices.
We talked about staff workload, and your staff had quite a big list of things that they were happy about. And obviously, you know, let's not pretend there's one or two things that we had to have to fix, one or two things that have emerged. But could you just signpost, apart from the wellbeing day that Sarah's been on today, or the farm experience, what other things do your staff get when they come to work here?
So for me, wellbeing, it's very much about the ethos of the school. And yes, we do lots of gimmicks and, you know, treat days. We give staff breakfast once a half term. We do golden weeks. We have booked like a valet company to come and wash people's cars to make their life easier. We've put flowers on cars. We do, lots of different treats.
Secret agent, I heard today.
Yeah. But ultimately, all those things are together. It's about the ethos, and it's about the fact that you will walk through the corridors and everyone will say hello to each other. If you're having a bad day, you can talk to anyone. You can come in, speak to us. We're all supportive. And so, yes, we do lots of wonderful, shiny, fun things. We do golden teas for staff where we've been in uncovered classes, so staff get to come and have a cup of tea and a chat to each other. Early finishes, no staff meetings for a week. But it's about the whole ethos, which is something we're really passionate about.
So I know I've only been here 3 or 4 times, but I get that, you know, I know school teaching life is hard anyway, but it does strike me as a happy place to work.
Definitely.
And I want to just move on to leadership. Sarah, what's your favourite thing about being a school leader?
It's varied every day. It's an exciting school to work at. I think we like to look at different innovations and the impact I think that you can have across school by supporting teachers and our support staff. That's exciting, isn't it?
You are, we won't name the school, but you are also helping another school at the moment. So. Maybe just vaguely tell us how that came about, the kind of things that you might be doing to help somebody else.
I think here at Joseph Cash, we really value the idea of coaching and teacher reflection and support rather than a done-to model with lots of heavy monitoring. Actually, it has to be with teachers alongside them and helping them to grow. I think that's in schools. In the school that I'm currently working at, I think that's a model that they want to replicate, and that's why I'm kind of going over there and supporting them, really.
And how far are you into the kind of brief or the project?
So we will only be since January, so okay. Heading towards half term. I would
great. Be there. And Helen, what favourite part of being the head teacher?
I think it's, you know, just working with the children, the fact that it's not just a class of 30 that I can have impact on, it's the whole school. Mm-hmm. But then with that, working with the staff and actually in the time that I've been here, helping teachers to develop as leaders, helping them to develop their skill sets, then they ultimately have an impact on the children mm-hmm. that are in their class. You know, it's a real privilege to be in this position that you can have an impact on mm-hmm. all the children in the school, the children that have, you know, come through and left us and gone on to secondary school, and how you can help leaders grow, you know, and help teachers and TAs and support staff, you know, any role in the school, just be confident mm-hmm. as people and be there to support them.
And before we came online, we talked about role models, and the profession will know the vast majority are female. When you get into leadership, particularly, well, primary as well as secondary, often it's male leaders, often white male leaders. Sarah, talk to me about who was your role model.
I think I would always thought that I wanted to be a teacher, uh-huh. Right from being in year 9 work experience. That was the thing that
right,
I chose
really early
to do,
on,
so
okay.
really early on. And I think being from in my school setting, just actually having that community feel, it really, you've really felt connected. So those teachers, I think, in there as well. And my dad is in a similar role, so he's not a teacher,
right.
But he works in higher education.
Okay.
I think that was a really interesting...
A role model.
Yeah, a really interesting dynamic about how you continue to support the journey of education mm-hmm. beyond... Well, essentially, they've chosen to be there, haven't they, at university
yeah.
and all of that, and that
and,
pastoral element.
I know it's a big question, you can't necessarily answer it here and there, but what kind of things do you think could be potential solutions to broaden the breadth of people at a leadership table?
I think it's really important, we've kind of talked before around flexible working. I think that perhaps does have an impact on female leaders in education, and there needs to be perhaps further thought around what that might look like.
Mm-hmm. And on that note, I'm going to bring it up because Helen, so we talked about flexible working. Helen actually likes, with a young child, working full time. Tell us why.
So obviously fully respect heads that want to go part time. I love working full time. I actually took this headship when my son was 3 months old. Mm-hmm. And I just feel that works for me. I have lots of staff who I've supported to drop down days, mm-hmm. temporary, permanent. You know, it's got to be what's right for the individual, what's right for that individual family. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, you know, salary counts, doesn't it? It enables you then on weekends and holidays to do the things that you want to do with your children.
Absolutely.
And give them the life.
I know we're doing this live, but I'm assuming you've got supportive governors and...
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, in your role managing the headship as well as a young family, yeah, they're supportive if you need a bit of help.
And I think that comes down as well to the ethos of the place. So, you know, I always say to my staff, you know, you can walk through the door at 8:30 and leave at 3:30 if you want, or you can stay longer. Mm-hmm. It's as long as, you know, you're doing the job that you need to do for the children when you're in front of them. When and how you do that work mm-hmm. is totally up to you. Something I often am passionate about is, you know, some schools, I know they say no emails after 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, no emails on the weekends, but actually that hinders some families. So some mums and dads want to get out of school at 3:30, spend the whole evening with their family, you know, doing clubs, playing at home, mm-hmm. and then actually pick up their laptop and potentially check up emails at 9 o'clock because they've left early. So I think it's about individuals being allowed the freedom mm-hmm. to do what works for them.
Given the tools to be able to, you know, yeah. that resilience, being taught how to do that.
Yeah, but that level of flexibility doesn't mean flexible working as in part-time working. Flexible working could be, well, actually, I need to drop my children off
yeah.
at 8:15, yeah. so I'm going to be in work later, or I need to leave mm-hmm. because after school club finishes, there's that level of flex, or I need to go to assembly
or
etc.
In your career, have you ever had the opposite of that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I've worked for heads before that potentially have had a different view to me. And I think working for different people that own in different schools makes me have such a strong belief of how I want to lead this school and want to support staff.
Do you think it's a different era or just a different person working in a different way and it still exists today?
I think it's definitely still out there today. You know, we know of it, it's still out there today. And I think it's and for some schools and for some people, that's what they want. But mm-hmm. I think it's very much teachers and staff need to find mm-hmm. the school that's right for them.
Sure. Now, we've done a lot of work on workload. And I know you've done lots on your market and feedback policy. And when I work with schools, we survey the staff in the room and words that have emerged. Our first session was marking. Mm-hmm. Our second session was planning. And then today we've had behaviour.
Yeah.
And different times of the year, different keywords emerge. Let's start with marking and feedback. Give us a little history, Sarah, of what you've done with the policy and your kind of thinking in this area.
Absolutely. I think the initial thinking is about how do we allow teachers to spend more time with the children? How do we spend more time thinking about the lesson sequence or what it is that the children are going to receive? So that's the initial thinking. So really moving away from marking books in detail, giving children lots of kind of written feedback that they're meant to respond to and be able to kind of acknowledge and move forward with that, and lots more time kind of talking with the children. Mm. Verbal feedback is kind of where we've started our journey, and that's kind of where you've kind of supported us.
Thank you. And Helen, tell me, before we came to start the session tonight, you told me something about you'd let the staff go off and do something themselves. Yeah. What was that?
So we very much don't monitor the staff. You know, we don't collect the books and check, have you been following the policies?
Did you hear that, everybody? No work scrutiny.
No, we do it with the staff. So in the staff meeting, we had, this is the policy. This is a kind of a grid, the non-negotiables that need to be there. These are the things that we would like to see. So actually, let's spend 30 minutes, look at your own books. Mm-hmm. You monitor yourself at the end of it. Is there any aspects of the policy that maybe aren't in place? Or is there any aspects that are going really well?
What I write in terms of my own accountability, what you'll hold me to account for.
Yeah, and I didn't collect that in. So then people set their own goals and targets. People shared what was going well. And then they've gone away. And then because I trust that they're going to do that.
So now, I've been here a few times and I'm gone. What's happening in this area, you know, for the future? And yes, COVID's getting in the way. But marking feedback, where are you going next?
I think it's taking the policy that we've now got in place and actually embedding it across the school. So there's lots of elements to it, but it's supporting staff to become really secure in that verbal feedback in the lesson and knowing at what point to intervene, at what point to step away, at what point to pull a group together and support first. So it's embedding and being consistent with that across the school now.
And Sarah, let's talk about curriculum. Mm-hmm. So we've done a bit of work tonight on sequencing, curriculum plan, retrieval practice. What's been where's the school been with that journey?
So in terms of the curriculum design, especially around our non-core subjects, over the last 2 years, we've really worked hard to make sure that our curriculum has those retrieval opportunities, that it's spiralised for our children right from EYFS to year six in terms of that curriculum content.
I'm thinking of a spiraliser now. We'll come to box sets in a moment, but not just yet.
No, but I think the element that's kind of stuck with us today is that stickability. Yeah. Actually, what is it that we really want from our curriculum? What do we want our children to know and remember? And what impact is that going to have on them over time? So there is some further work to do there, but I think we are definitely along the right lines, but it's never done.
No, it's never done. So I guess, Helen, the question, you know, now I'm going, what's the one kind of big thing you want to see a change in your staff?
I don't think it's about seeing a big change in anything. You know, I'm really fortunate. I have a fantastic staff team here. I think it's about staff taking kind of all the training and all the information we've given them, them using that to support their own planning and making sure, you know, the most important thing is relevant for the children, and that everything that we do has an impact for the children and for them to make progress and to hit the milestones that they need. So it's actually how can they use everything, all the tools that you've shared.
Bring in the box set analogy. Tell us about the box set.
The box set analogy. So I can't take credit for this. It was actually Paul Longdon, I will name drop. He shared, so the box set analogy is thinking about your curriculum. So, you know, each year is a series. Year one is series one, year two is series two. And, you know, if you've missed an episode, yes, you'll get a quick recap at the start of the next episode, but you've ultimately missed that episode. So at some point, you need to go back and plug that gap in, work out what you missed.
So that's a really nice analogy. Sarah, tell us where your school is with, you know, the whole cognitive science, the retrieval, the space, the interleaving, and, you know, that particular part on the memory that we talked to you about.
Yeah, I think we've got a developing understanding about that. I think teachers are definitely making sure that there is an element of that across their lessons. Just going back to what you've said in terms of what we might need to do next, I think it's celebrating and looking at practice that's going across each year groups more often because there's some brilliant stuff going on. And actually, I'd like to be able to share that wider with our staff team so that we can kind of cherry pick some of those ideas.
One of my favourite sessions was when the staff were sharing, and I think you know, particularly some of the things we've heard tonight is giving staff more time to share, and that's a message for us all, isn't it? So there we go. So just for people watching live on the video, we're doing a podcast here, and my podcast is at 20 minutes, which is normally the optimum time. So I'm going to start to wrap things up. So Sarah, I'll start with you. What's on your desk tomorrow as a school leader, apart from setting the cover?
Oh, I'm heading across to a different setting tomorrow to talk about all things that are brilliant here at Joseph Cash, and talking about retrieval practice, actually.
Right, there you go. Brilliant. Helen, what's on your table?
9:30, I have curriculum heads for the Coventry LA head teachers, which is a group that I lead in the city. So we're sharing lots of different curriculum elements.
Plus all the other things that come in your inbox, yeah? Right, let's go off piste. Sarah, if you were Education Secretary of State, what would you do?
Wow. recognise the hard work that teachers are putting in, and mm-hmm. actually celebrate the profession more often.
So more positivity. Yeah, Helen, how about you? What's the one thing you'd stop if you were in charge? Is it the SAT word?
SATs, yeah, it has to be, doesn't it? Because, you know, we know where the children are and where they need to get. We don't need the stress of those testing years.
Right, well, there you go. Sarah, what book are you reading? Apart from Mark Plan Teach, of course.
Absolutely.
For fun.
I'm going to be really boring because it is an education one, but I think it's quite fun. It's the Simon Sinek Ask Me Why book.
Ask Me Why, Simon Sinek. Helen?
It's a book actually about habits. I can't think who the author is, but it's about changing habits.
Okay. Nice. Sarah, if you, what piece of advice would you give to a female teacher wanting to become a school leader for the first time?
Believe in yourself and go for it.
Helen, first time someone's considering headship, piece of advice?
Yeah, go for it, because it is the best job in the world and you can have such an impact.
Okay, let me narrow this down a bit more. Give me a top tip if I was a head teacher. What things do I need to do? You know, open every doors, make sure you know how to use the fire alarm.
Feed the staff.
Some schools, you don't get food on inset days. Can you believe it?
Shocking.
It's a cost decision, not a people decision.
Free tea and coffee in the staff
room.
Free
tea and coffee, there you go. Sarah, now you said you were wanting to be a teacher from a very young age, but if you weren't a teacher, what's your kind of weird or abstract dream job?
Maybe something psychology-based.
Psychology. Helen?
When I was younger, it was either a teacher or a backing dancer.
Backing dancer.
Jason Donovan, maybe.
Okay, we'll pause the recording and we'll look at some moves in a moment. Because that's what we do with kids. We tell them they can be anything they want.
Absolutely.
So there you go. So there's our career. What's your most proudest career achievement to date?
I think just everything that's been achieved at Joseph Cash.
Give me one specific thing. Curriculum plan, lick of paint, a new building.
No, it's got to be a child who was struggling year four, year five, you know, and became a school prefect in year six and turned their behaviour around. And I still see him now. Brilliant. He pops up to school with his younger sibling. And yeah, it's the impact on the individual children.
Sarah, how about you?
That's really tricky. Yesterday I was doing some work for the virtual school for looked after children. Actually, it was a really nice point of reflection to share with them all of the work that we've been doing in terms of trauma-informed practice and behaviour here at Joseph Cash. Actually, that was a really nice point of reflection for me.
Okay, nice. Lots of things to think about. And I haven't been able to see people's comments watching live. But next question, who would you recommend I interview next and why? Someone in Cross Coventry?
Gary Watson. He's just taken on a new headship. He was a head and he's gone to a new headship in the city. So
okay, Gary,
speak to Gary.
I'm coming for you, okay? and where can people find out about your school? What's the website address? And if people want to look you guys up on Twitter, if you're happy to share.
So our hashtag, if you search hashtag the JC Way.
The JC Way.
The website is just Joseph Cash Primary Coventry.
Okay.
And our Twitter handle is at Cash Primary.
At Cash Primary. There you go. Final question, my hardest one. Sarah, what would you hope to be your legacy, your personal legacy as a teacher?
Oh, wow. Actually, just a real thirst for learning from our children, that it was exciting when they were at primary school and they remember all of the different experiences during their time here.
Okay, and Helen?
For maybe some of our children that have found it tricky and tough at times, that when they're older, they look back and they remember, actually, we were there, we listened, we helped.
So there you go. The JC Way, hashtag the JC Way, look it up. thank you to people watching. Sorry I caught you off guard on the live stream. And for podcast listeners, thanks for listening. Bye for now.
Bye.
you for listening to this podcast. To continue the conversation, head over to www.teachertoolkit.co.uk and our social media channels to access all the links and resources mentioned on today's show. Why not share this with your colleagues and give them the gift of time, reduced workload, and increased impact? Until the next time, before you look after your students, look after yourself.